The Journey of My Heart, passages from the Diary of a Pilgrim to Sri Ramanashramam, continued from the January-February issue, 30th of December 1982. This afternoon at 4 p.m., Ramaswamy Pillai, Paul, Evelyn's husband, and I went on Riksha Pradakshina during the lunar eclipse. I attempted to walk beside the Riksha, could talk. Ramaswamy and Paul rode in the rickshaw, but since the driver had trouble pedaling so slowly, I ultimately had to climb in and sit on the small front bench. Paul and I recited the Sri Lalita Sahasranama Stotram as we went, and Ramaswamy's mood was melted. Here and there, he would single out a name and repeat it in ecstasy. We stopped the rickshaw to walk around the shrines of Ganesha and Hanuman, and had passed Adi Annamalai by the time the recitation ended. The sun was setting and the sky was covered in hues of gentle pink, lavender and an unearthly blue. The normal reality of objects and events seemed called into question in the magical light of dusk. Ramaswamy said, "You have the recitation of Sri Lalita Sahasranama Stotram by heart, it seems. Very few can do it. It is a very rare thing, and you do it with faith. Sri Lalita Sahasranama is so concentrated, so powerful. You can go on and on reciting it like Bhagavan's hymns." At Bhagavan's bridge, we offered chocolates, peanuts and tea to Swamiji. He declined our peanuts, saying, "You will first have to give me teeth." However, he then made it clear he had declined the ashram's offers to make him dentures. He told us that at the preceding culvert, Bhagavan had composed the verse of Arunachala Akshara Manamalai, "Unless thou savest me, I shall melt away in tears of anguish, O Arunachala." Bhagavan told him that at that time a great flood of tears actually poured forth from his eyes. "We would be so carefree with Bhagavan," Ramaswamy continued. "We would be singing and dancing." "Really?" I asked. "Oh yes, we had a hell of it," he exclaimed, laughing. On the paved road approaching Kuberalingam, we saw the moon in eclipse rising. The sun had just set, and Ramaswamy commented that in a certain town in South India, one may see the beautiful sight of the twin suns, that is, the sun and moon rising and setting simultaneously on opposite horizons. Ramaswamy told Paul, "Whatever good work you take up, there will be people to criticize you. But with love, there comes understanding. You cannot really know a person unless you love the person." He spoke so beautifully while riding around Arunachala, I wished I could have captured every word verbatim. 3rd of January 1983. Once more I joined Ramaswamy Pillai during the rest period after lunch, and he talked on various subjects. Again and again, he stressed the importance of practicing Sri Bhagavan's teaching of self-inquiry and self-surrender. The two are one, you see. Only when you know who am I, can surrender really come. Sri Bhagavan's teaching is really practical, but some people make it into a philosophy. They really wish to publicize themselves. People may talk on and on about Bhagavan. They may praise him, but unless they practice his teachings, none of this impresses me. "I can't talk this way with everyone," Ramaswamy commented. "I am talking with you as though to your goddess. Because you see, in India, we stress that a man must be very careful with women, even one's own mother. But you recite Sri Lalita Sahasranamam daily by heart. Not everyone is capable of this. Some Brahmins may do so, but you do it with the devotion and faith. When I hear Sri Lalita Sahasranamam, I am completely immersed. You can practice it the way I recite Aksharamana Malai. Automatically, it goes on. I may pick it up anywhere and continue with it. I described to Ramaswamy the routine of morning and evening recitations done at Arunachala Ashrama, stressing that we all recite mother's names by heart. He said, regular parayana is good, but self-inquiry must be practical always, continuously. By practicing stotram regularly, one may acquire most of what one desires in life. First, one, like a child, asks of God and receives. Second, he will say, whatever you wish is best. Finally, there comes a state in which even to think is a sin. Thought itself will be rejected. To think of many things makes a man weak, he stressed. Talking of the many popular gurus of the day, Ramaswamy commented, I have read the books, this one or that one, that form the spiritual literature of today. But when one comes to the practice, the spiritual literature is something separate. By Evelyn Caselo Safair, continued in the May-June issue.